Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So we've been counting down from 10 to 1. Our Falcons training camp storylines. Yesterday was number 10. Yesterday was the contract situations of a number of players. It was also timely because Julio Jones actually spoke about that yesterday too, which was good. Now, I don't know that anybody's going to catch up to Dirk Cutter or Mike Malarkey or Ben Kotwicka at an airport today from TMZ.
Never know.
But that's the effect we had yesterday with storyline number 10.
It'll be everywhere, man.
Storyline number 9 is about those new coordinators, about the coaching changes. And before we dive into how each individual might have a change or an impact on what this Falcons team might look like in 2019, I just want to get your perspective, Randy, from a guy who played in the NFL for over a decade, who was a player in locker rooms that every year there's going to be slight coaching changes, but most years it's not like this.
No, it's not like this. Just an overhaul of all the coordinators. And, I mean, I've had a situation where it's been an in-house, and it was, because Joe Collier, who right now is the Falcons, I think he's head of all the scouting, whatever, Joe was the running back coach. And then when Norv Turner left to go to Washington, I think it was, Joel got promoted to be the offensive coordinator. Well, Joel got really, really sick. And they had, and so they wanted to replace him with Mark Trestman. That's who we wanted. We wanted Mark Trestman as the OC, the players. But Dave didn't want him because he knows how,
Dave Wannstedt.
Yeah, Dave Wannstedt didn't want him as the OC. So he promoted my tight end coach, who was new, Chris Forster. And then all the road to, but yeah, and then it was a fact where Chris ain't never called no plays before in his life. And it was obvious. It was bad. And everybody knows who Chris Forster is. Yeah. Yeah. Miami coach in the video, snorting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
He got in a little trouble last year.
Yeah. But I liked him because he threw me the ball. He was like, hey, hey, Chris, I need the ball, Chris. I got you, Randy. So, I would get, 6-7 attempts a game. But other than that, not like this, unless I had a new head coach. But other than that, I've never seen that like this. When you bring in three new coordinators. And I think it's going to work because you got three veteran coordinators, and I'm adding Dan in too as the coordinator for the defensive side of the ball. So I think it's more of an improvement because you got Dan nobody knows the defense better than Dan. Only person probably knows it better is Pete Carroll, and Dirk Cutter. His offense. I know they're saying it's Shanahan's offense, but Dirk's going to put a lot of his stuff in there too.
Yeah, I mean it's a really unique circumstance where you see coaching overhauls, but usually it's because a bunch of people, including the head coach, get fired.
Yeah.
Like in Tampa Bay this year, it's all new people
because everybody got fired.
Dirk Cutter got fired and they bring in Bruce Arians. That happens 5, 6, 7 times an offseason in the NFL, but it's not usually a good thing because it's a complete change of direction. I think, and I don't know, maybe I'm choosing to look at it this way, but I think this is a good thing. I think that they made the right decision. Now, unfortunately, it had to come on the heels of maybe wrong decisions, which was Marquand Manuel and Steve Sarkisian.
I don't think Marquand was the wrong answer. I just think that because everybody was hurt, I still think he got a raw deal. But at the same time, Dan had to do what he had to do.
Well, and maybe Sark too, because Sark, like you said earlier, came on the heels of Shanahan, Kyle Shanahan. He was held to that standard. The offense was number 6 in the NFL last year.
Yeah, I know.
Like in a vacuum, you don't look at that and say that that's a failure.
Yeah.
Compared to Shanahan, it's a failure. I guess if you look at all of the components that comprise the offense, all the star players that are on the offense, you might view it as a failure. If they're the number 6 offense in the NFL this year, you can win with the number 6 offense in the NFL.
Yes, you can.
The issue was the defense last year and because of the amount of injuries that were on defense last year. But it's important to look at a season like this with all of the changes and realize how unique it is. The reason that I'm not worried about it, and I think that you probably agree with this, but I don't know. I'd be interested to get your opinion on it, is because you're not bringing in people that are green like you did last time.
Right.
You're bringing in a ton of experience. And I think that, to me, is the biggest – if we're talking storylines about the changes, the biggest storyline is you went the complete opposite direction of so many different offenses and so many different coaching decisions in the NFL this offseason where – everybody wanted the hot young coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wanted the Sean McVay, the Kingsbury, what's his name up there in Green Bay that I forget was here in Atlanta a couple years ago. I want to say LeBlanc, but that's not right. Anyway.
LaFleur. Yes.
Now he's in Green Bay as the head coach. Falcons went the other way. They went experience. They went 100 combined years of coaching experience between all the people that they brought in. And that's why I look at it and say to myself, it's a positive. It's not something that I'm worried about. I'm interested to see how it works and what it looks like on the field.
Yeah.
And we can get into that in a minute. But it's not something that I look at and I'm worried about. I was worried when Sark was hired as the head coach.
I think a lot of us were because we all knew that Shanahan was going to get a head coaching job, one of those jobs when he took the San Fran job. We knew that. But we didn't know who Dan was going to bring in. And when the name Steve Sarkisian, because remember the last game that he called in college wasn't a good game.
No, it was not.
You know what I'm saying? So you're like, you're gonna let him be in charge of that offense with Matt Ryan in him? But I was under the impression, I was like, well, you got Matt Ryan. You know, you're coming off a Super Bowl and all that. Y'all will be fine. But you saw that there were some growing pains and everything. I don't anticipate any of that happening with Dirk Cutter. Dirk's been around this league. He's a highly respected offensive coordinator. Would have gotten another job if the Falcons didn't offer him this job. So I'm not as worried as the last time they hired an OC. But there's going to be a learning curve as far as when you're trying to learn a new offense, when you're used to calling something a certain way, even though the play means the same thing, it's called a different way. So he's got to learn that part about it, but I have no issue with that.
Which unit do you think is going to look the most different? Because
offense.
In terms of personnel – it's a lot of the same people across the board, offense, defense, and special teams for the most part. Different kicker, but of the three, which one do you think is going to be the most different from last year to this year?
The offense. And it's going to be because you're going to see different things. I mean, you're still going to see the offense is based off that stretch run, but you're going to see more downhill gap scheme because that's what Malarkey is an expert at. Dirk Cutter knows how to do it also. So that would be a big difference, big wrinkle in it. But defensively, I don't see any type of – drastic overhaul or anything, because Dan, when you run this cover three scheme, which you're based on, it's really simple. You rush with four, you drop the rest of them, and you rally through the ball and tackle. I mean, Dan does different things with it, but I mean, that's basically what his defense is.
It all sounds simple.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it sounds simple.
It sounds simple. That sounds great.
Yeah, it's a yacht there.
Yeah, that sounds great.
But see, that's the thing with Dan. Dan's done so many different things because I played against this defense a long time. When Pete was there and when Dan was in Seattle, and it was a basic defense. You're sitting there like, okay, if I'm going to the right, you know who's coming with me to the right, Cam. I know that's where he is. I know where Richie's going to be. You know where Bronner's going to be. You know what they're going to do. But they're so good at it. You know what I'm saying? That's how they're affected. But Dan, he's done different things. He's traveling more with the corners. He's playing more man to man. He's blitzing more guys. So that's the biggest difference since he's been here in Atlanta.
And, I mean, the other big difference, obviously, hopefully, knock on wood, will be that you got all your guys out there for 16 games. That's going to be the biggest difference.
Yep.
I mean, the reason the defense wasn't as good as it was supposed to be last year wasn't because Marquand Manuel didn't know what he was doing. It was because you got three of your best players hurt. And you also had Grady Jarrett out for a time last season as well. I mean, the first half of the season, he was either out or dealing with what had him out.
Right.
Second half of the season, Grady Jarrett was ridiculous.
Yes.
And probably had his best 8-game stretch that he's had in the NFL thus far. Hopefully he has that for 16 weeks. Hopefully Deion Jones is in there for 16 weeks. That's going to be the difference this year from last year. What about special teams? Because that's something that we haven't spent a ton of time talking about just because it's so much more obvious to talk about quarterbacks and injuries and things like that. The special teams have been very conservative since Dan Quinn has taken over. We were talking about this before the show with Jarvis in the bullpen. Was it 2010 the last time there was a punt return for a touchdown? 2014 the last time there was a kickoff return for a touchdown? It's been a really long time since the special teams has been an explosive part of what the Falcons have done. I think that's by design with Dan Quinn, but I wonder if that's something that they'll shake up a little bit this year as well.
I think so, but it's all about the return guy. We talked about it in the last segment in our NFL No Huddle. It's like, who would you rather have the ball in their hands, the returner or Matt Ryan? And that's the thing, especially on those punt returns. You know what I'm saying? Let's get the ball to our offense. We don't want to take a chance of being punt being muffed or anything like that. Now, kickoff return is different. You want to bring that ball out the end zone. I mean, sorry, teams are not kicking the ball into the end zone. They're trying to make it a little short so you can find a way to tackle the guy inside the 20. So you need some explosive plays. You need an explosive return. It's funny that when Andre Roberts was here, he was okay. And then he goes to the Jets and goes to Pro Bowl.
Goes to Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
So because they allowed him to do different things.
They allowed him to catch the ball and return it. Exactly. They allowed him to be a returner. So, I mean, but yeah, the biggest thing about special teams is Matt Ryan's not there.
Yeah.
And Tavecchio.
Again, knock on wood. Yeah. You don't appreciate how consistent a consistent kicker is until
he's gone.
Somebody inconsistent comes in. Tavecchio was great last year.
I think
year.
He's going to be fine.
Hopefully he is. Yeah. I hope that he is.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.